Strategy precedes governance. Culture trumps strategy.
My guest today, Bernie Tenenbaum, has proven that the right board of directors helps both your strategy and your culture. He shares how to attract and run the perfect board on today's YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Daum, and each week I bring you insights from the world top executives of YPO, all made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, www.growthinstitute.com. YPO member Bernie Tenenbaum understands the value of a great board of directors from all sides of the table. On the management side, Bernie was the president of the Children's Leisure Products Group at the Jordan Company and president at the Toy Group. He was also the vice president of corporate development at Russ Berry & Company. Eventually, he moved his focus to the board side and has since developed and been a part of more than 50 boards of directors, including Diesco, Microtech, Franklin Mint, Sims Corporation, and ToysRUs.com. Today, as a current managing partner of Lodestone Global, he provides strategy consulting and board development to companies spanning the globe. With a commitment to academia that includes a degree from Columbia University and an MBA from Wharton, Bernie then gave back to his alma mater, serving as the associate director of the Wharton Entrepreneurial Center for 10 years, where he founded the Wharton Small Business Development Center. He has taught Ivy League undergraduate and MBA classes in business strategy, venture capital, and business planning. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How did you get involved on boards? Is it just your own company, or you were interested in that from the beginning?
So I was a college professor for a long time. I'm still a recovering academic. I'm in stage three of the recovery. I was the associate director of the Entrepreneurial Center at the Wharton School, an oldest entrepreneurship program on the planet. And I had responsibility for the undergraduate course curriculum. I had started as an entrepreneur, grew up in a family business. My family was in the hotel business. We built what you know as South Beach today when they were just rooming houses. And so after going to graduate school in literature and studying literature as an undergraduate and still being tremendously passionate about reading and the craft of language, realized that I was not equipped to run the stereo stores that I had started from scratch. And I decided I needed to go to business school and went to Wharton. And they kept me, as it were, as this entrepreneurship program was emerging in the late 70s and early 80s. And the context for this was I had made a speech someplace. And I got a phone call from the CEO of a New York Stock Exchange company. He said, hey, so-and-so is stepping off my board. Would you consider taking a seat on the board of the company?
I mean, did you even feel like you were qualified at that point to sit on a board of a company? Had that crossed your mind?
I didn't have that kind of self-doubt. I thought I had brought enough strategic insight and understanding and was willing to try. I mean, the downside was he picked me. And so I was self-confident enough to at least give it a shot. Made no mistake. I was the pet professor on a public company board. It looked nice in the annual report.
You had the Wharton brand as well.
I think it's partly that, but I think it was also that I wasn't afraid to say, you know, you're wrong. The idea being that if you aren't willing to confront the real truth in a direct way as an owner, you've missed the opportunity to improve.
So you said that you learned the things not to do on a board. What were the top three?
Don't look out the rearview mirror, okay? Look out the front windshield. If the board is effective, it's there to drive strategy and to clarify objectives. If you spend all your time focused on what happened yesterday instead of what's going to happen tomorrow, you're not going to be prepared for tomorrow. One of the most important things that a board can do in a company, aside from strategy and direction, is to ensure that the talent and, most importantly, the emotional health of the leadership is intact and focused. So I always try to spend 45 minutes at the end of every board meeting in a one-on-one with the independent directors and the CEO to find out how you're feeling. Because it's a lonely place sometimes, and it's not the kind of thing you can talk about with most people in the company. It mirrors some parts of the YPO ecosystem in that regard. To be able to say, you know, how are things at home? Or I had dinner last night with the VP of marketing, and I think he's going to leave. Or I think that the new CFO is fantastic, and we should find a way to ensure continuity.
So when somebody comes to you and says, Bernie, I'm interested in building a board, how do you assess whether or not they're ready? What's the criteria you look at?
The first question is that, are you really ready for a board? The first thing that really any good entrepreneur or CEO needs to do is take a hard look in the mirror naked. It's not fun. And be clear about where you are now, and most importantly, where you want to go. Wayne Gretzky famously said, when asked why he was so successful as a hockey player, maybe the greatest hockey player of all time, that he always skated to where the puck was going, not to where it was now. And so the first step is the strategic assessment of what it is you want to be when you grow up, understanding what direction you're headed in, and then start to think about governance. Strategy precedes governance. If you're going sailing, don't get Sherpas who are good at carrying the goods up Mount Everest. And if you're going hiking, don't get tugboat captains.
Well, so when you talk about the governance issue, companies that don't have outside stockholders or don't plan on going public, it's really a choice for them if they want a board. But you're saying there's an advantage for them on the strategic side rather than just the governance
side. Let's be clear. I'm deliberately not talking about compliance or liability. I've been a director of 7 public companies, and I've learned this the hard way. I've been sued in 27 states. I had Skadden Arps on speed dial. These are not good things. The last public board I was on, I literally didn't write a note on a piece of paper in a board meeting for fear of discovery or someone coming to my office and saying, we're going to depose you. The heartburn of liability. I was an audit committee chair for New York Stock Exchange Company. There isn't any way to avoid the responsibility. That's not a bad thing, okay? I mean, I think best practices are to run private company boards to public company standards, but without the sword of Damocles of impending litigation hung over your head. This is a peculiarly North American problem. It's not a global problem, but it is in concept. It makes sense everywhere that says, God, if you know everything, if you know everyone, if you can see anything that's going to happen to you next, great, you don't need any advice. But most people I know benefit from having the wisdom of a bunch of smart people gather entirely focused on the needs that you and your company have in a way that helps you be more strategic in achieving the goals.
Okay, so fine. So I've got a company. I'm ready to have smart people join my team. How do I know that somebody is going to be an effective board member? What's the criteria I'm looking for?
That's the art. Okay, first of all, it's people, not resumes, that you're looking for. You are putting a band together. You want a band with 6 drummers? It's going to have a very different kind of sound, right? There may be some places for which that makes sense. But the art of assembling the right people is not just are they capable and experienced and knowledgeable about the things that you're interested in, but will they play nice together in the sandbox? Are the flavors going to blend or clash? So the first step is understanding not just their skill set, but their cultural skill set, because culture trumps strategy. Strategy precedes governance, culture trumps strategy.
It's time for our rapid fire questions. Bernie, you ready?
I'm ready.
What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
What's the most interesting thing that happened to you lately?
Name 3 of your personal core values.
Honesty, loyalty, and being clutch. I want to be there when it counts.
Who's had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
I had a professor who was my second boss at Wharton named Ian McMillan. He was a South African who had moved to America and reinvented his life. He had started as a chemical engineer and became one of the leading researchers in entrepreneurship. And what he taught me was being right wasn't enough, that being smart in the room wasn't enough, that the real leaders were people who made their teams better. And he taught me how to do that.
What's your favorite business book?
The Discipline of Market Leaders. It's an oldie but a goodie.
What are you reading right now?
Wolf Hall by Hilary Mantel. She won the Man Booker Prize last year.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Empathy.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Failure to listen.
Name one daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
Daydreaming.
Name one trait that makes an employee valuable.
Willingness to tell the truth.
What's your strangest daily habit?
I can't go to bed at night without my whole freaking inbox being clear. I'm anal retentive about it. Not touching pieces of paper twice and not going to bed with stuff waiting for tomorrow.
Does that drive you to be more efficient during the day?
No,
so that you don't have the load?
It drives me crazy. But I just can't. I want to go to bed knowing that I've taken care of all of today's work today.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
Say thank you once in a while.
Well, I'm going to say thank you now. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Bernie, for being on the show.
Pleasure was mine. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing YPO member Eduardo Gaz, CEO of TTW Group. He'll share with us how he turned his great passion of skiing into an incredible business venture that's helping others have an awesome experience. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to the YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit www.ypo.org.